forget it was. Third parrot. First mission. So it's kind of an interesting Mishnah. And it's actually a Mishnah that I don't think they do this in America, but in Israel at Levayos they read this pasuk at the at least in the place I was to, they read it while they're doing the kfura or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You'll see. We'll talk about it a little more in a second, but that's I heard it and then I was looking to do Pirkei Avos and I saw this Mishnah.
Which
Mishnah?
Third parak
Mishnah. So it says, Akavya ben Mahalala Omer. So, look at three things. Istakal doesn't just mean look, it's to gaze, to look intently. Okay? To focus on, that kind of thing. Three things, and you're not going to come to Avera. Sounds pretty good, right? Okay. Da me'ayin basa, know from where you came, ulaan ata holich, and to where you are going, ulufnei mi ata asidite den v'chashva, and before whom you will in the future give den v'chashva. Okay, death. Okay, now I was going to explain. Me'ayin basa, where do you come from? Mitipas rucha. From a dirty drop. It's a sperm or that kind of thing. Okay. You originated from something which you would consider dirty. The lettuce, tipa is a drop, so it's small, and tsrucha is disgusting, dirty, you know. What's that?
Tsrucha usually means smelly.
Smelly. Ulana to olech, and to where are you going? Lamakom afa rima visaleya. To a place of dust. And worms and other kinds of worms. And before whom are you going to ultimately, in the future, give din chazon? Okay.
So what does it mean to give din?
It's not clear, but I think it means God is going to judge you, that you're going to be judged.
Okay.
You know.
I always thought it meant there are questions that you get asked.
Right.
So that say kavata itim la Torah, whatever. Right. That's the din b'cheshbon is asking you what your good qualities are and your bad qualities. So you kind of have to testify on behalf of yourself at the end of days and say, I did this, so put that on the good side of the scale. I did that, put that on the bad side of the scale.
Right, but it's not clear if that's actually. I don't know. It could be a mashal. Because I don't know if God needs you to state your case, you know.
God knows what you did.
Right. So whatever it is, some reference to that, you know. I mean, it's presented that way, and so the Gemara is like that. But it could mean ultimately God considers all these things. I don't know. Maybe it means you have to give it. Who knows? But it's certainly possible that it's a mashal. But the point here is that it's it's dead. So you can see it being relevant to read at a funeral. It certainly seems on target, right? The one thing I'll tell you is when they read it, it's kind of interesting, and we'll see if it makes sense or doesn't make sense. But when they read it, they read one phrase under their breath. Do you guess which phrase?
Read what?
One phrase when they read this Mishnah.
Where you come from?
Yeah. They go, they read it, they go. He does his loud voice, his Tokyo, his his Hebrew accent. And then, he whispers those two words, And they say it more than once. They say three times or something like that also, I think. So it's you may not pick it up, but then you notice it. And I was been there a few years in a row, so it's noticeable that they drop out that word, But considering that you're supposed to be mistakel v'shlosha dvarim, you're supposed to look at these three things. It doesn't seem to be a good idea to not say what one of them is, So I was just saying, it doesn't seem to be the greatest idea to to omit words or to make statements quietly. I'm not sure why they say it all together, but.
Plus, I would have also assumed that it would be what's a different word, legal name or.
Yeah.
really like to look. Maybe to look closely, but...
I know, it's true. It's interesting.
It does have, like, a kind of external...
Yeah, the vision has nothing to do with it. It's more like what you're...
But it also implies that you should have a physical representation of something, like something to actually look at so that you get a sense of, this is what I came from, this is where I'm headed, you know, like actually look at it.
Something like that, right. Right. It's not just that... I'm not sure if his spooning would have the connotation of like a gaze, like a concerted gaze on these things, to focus on them. It does it right. It seems almost like imagery. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have an actual thing, but you should make a concrete, concerted effort to really bring these things to mind,
right.
Not just to like quickly go over them.
Hence the wearing the shroud,
that kind of thing, right? Right. Right, but that's why I thought it's ironic that they like leave out a word, you know, that they like say it in a way that's totally against the idea of stockel. I mean, he's saying you should wear stockel, and they kind of say it quietly, it's, you know, but, you know, it's like a fun type of thing, you know.
Well, for Israeli kids,
they'll
ask, what does that word mean, and then if you haven't explained anything to them yet, they'll be like, well, how do I come from that?
Yeah, maybe that's why. But usually kids aren't at funerals, in cemeteries, you know?
I'm not ready at all.
You're right. Okay. So the idea is, is that this sounds like a really cool mishmash, if we could actually get it, because this sounds like a pretty neat trick, right? You just think about these three things and you come to chet. Must be there's something almost magical about these three things, right? Somehow these are supposed to move you in some sort of a powerful way if we think about them deeply, but at least we have to kind of see, what's the method? What's the methodology of this Mishnah, which is, it sounds like he's not just saying, a nice, cute type of thing, but it sounds like he's actually giving advice, you know? So it would be nice if we could actually understand and utilize this advice, right? Okay. So let's look at the Rambam's commentary on these things, okay? He doesn't say that much, but he says a little bit, so let's go with it. And I'm going to do it. I have the Kafach, which is a little bit of better gear, so, but I'd rather if you look at it, you tell me if there's discrepancies, okay? So he says like this, there's bonus hazu. That's funny, he uses the word hisponinus.
This version says histopolis.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so maybe they're interchangeable.
Isn't that Rambam?
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Yeah, hisponinus hazu. Mevia es ha'adam lidei anava. Behistaklo me'ayin ba. So this thinking...
Zichron
me'ayin ba. Zichron. Oh, so it could be because once they get rid of histoklos originally, so you have to put it back. You see, he had the gear still of histoklos, because there's a bit of histoklo.
Right.
You know, so, but he's equating his bononos and histoklos, right? Because he means, this thinking leads a person to another when he gazes on where he's from. Mm-hmm. Right? It's almost like it's a thinking, but it's a thinking of histoklos or something, whatever that means. Right? So that leads you to another. Okay. Good. Next, his bononu al tachliso. You probably have a stockless? Okay. It's bono al tachliso. Considering your end, yavi oso lide zilzol de yane olam hazah. So it leads you to a zilzol, a degradation or something like that. Okay. Same basic idea, right? And then yanim in matters of this world. Okay? Fine. That's the second one, right? That's where you're going to end up, is to a grave, basically. Worms and dust, and, right? Because bonenu, it's interesting, by the way, it doesn't just say you're going to die. It's getting more graphic than that, right? Right, the dirt and worms, and right? It's more... That could be part of the stockless, you know? It doesn't just mean, you're going to die. Okay, I'm going to die. No, but you're going to be in the earth with worms, and, you know.
It's interesting that also the language that Rambam uses about, by thinking of the fact that the physical body decomposes and becomes like dust and gets eaten by worms, you realize that most of the chatan, most of the errors that we do are driven by our physical, and so it's worthless in the end.
Like, right. You're satisfying physical desire, right. But it's so temporary, ephemeral. Right. In the end, it's going to be.
Yeah. No, okay. Nothing. Okay. Good. Well, we'll analyze them each in turn. You know, you're saying good idea, but let's hold off for a minute. Okay. And then the last one, v'zbonenu b'gedulas hametzaveh, and thinking about the greatness of the commander, the one who commands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yavi oso lemaher lekayim mitzvasa, bring you to hastily to go in haste to mekayim his mitzvos. Okay. V'kasher yusku shloshas advarim alalu, when you understand these three things, lo yachta klal. Same. Lashon is the same in that.
Well,
basically.
The beginning part's not, but lo yachta klal is the same.
And the other part, v'kasher yusku shloshas advarim alalu. Where's the difference? You want to read from v'zbonenu b'gedulas hametzaveh?
So we had, we have the same thing.
There's something that's stockless, but you know, some of the
If you, my hair, the shmo mitzvah.
Okay, so I have a kind of mitzvah, so. Fine.
Yeah. And,
It's tiny, right?
Yiplu biyado.
I think it says
kishah.
Yalu biyado.
Comes up in your hand.
Elu
shkash lo. Okay, so that's kishah yusku when you understand. Okay, same basic idea. Fine. Okay. So again, sounds pretty steep. Lo yachta klal. Right? So. Yeah, you read this mission, you read this Rambam, it kind of sounds like exciting. You know, it sounds like it would be a nice mission to really think about and work on, because it promises to really help us in avoiding fate. You know,
magic formula.
Yeah, right.
Three things, and then no more sins.
Right.
I guess
it
hasn't worked for anyone yet. Though.
Yeah.
Right. Some
dies
about sinning, right?
And inside the question, yes, totally. Right? Yeah, okay, but you know, even if it works, like some of the time, it would be helpful for us, you know? So.
Are there other,
These three things. Yeah, probably. It could be. I don't know if it's exactly like this, but yeah. If you find yourself in the situation of faith, then do that, yeah. That's true. Look, obviously these things are trying to tell you ideas. They're not, like, not really a magical formula. But there must be this trying to say that this combination of three things makes it, you know, somehow could move you. Just to hold it together?
I think it might just be the whole set. No, it's for a taste, actually.
Now there's peanuts, right? Okay, so the question is, so I guess we should analyze this, and I guess we should take them one at a time, and then see if we could kind of create like a picture of them all together, right? Seems like a decent plan. So, I guess the theory, the most suitable, you know, natural order is just take them in order, right? Start with the first one. So the saying is, Da me'ayin bas. Where did you come from? Mitipas rucha. Right?
Every human being, even the most
haughty
human being, comes from the
same place. It's interesting. The Rambam's Gersa of the Mishnah, he has made lecha srucha. Not sure what's lecha, is like moisture or something. He didn't say, like, maybe he doesn't like saying it's like a tipa, like a drop. Exactly, a drop, but whatever. I'm not different. It's a different gersa. It's the same idea. But yeah, so the Rambam has Rambam explain it. He says, because when you think about where you, it leads you to anava, right? It leads you to anava when you think where you come from, right? Anava, humility. So what's the idea? So that's what you're saying, yeah?
was saying that no matter how high and mighty you are, every human being comes from the same place. We're all from modest beginnings. So that's why it kind of puts you in the framework of, you think you're so great that you can get away with doing this action.
Right.
I feel like also like the emphasis of like coming from the parents. Kind of like puts a like physical spin on things. Like a person might think that, well, it's true, I may come from modest beginnings, but I built myself up and but then once you remind the person, you know, I built myself up on my own and I really achieved on my own and everything from the point at which I was born is like all my own doing. But if you remind the person that they come from like parents and human beings, then maybe they can't really implicate themselves as much as.
But could you, I mean, that's a question. It's like, I guess on the surface, does this really make work? What's the sense of this? I mean, you tell a guy who's all high and mighty, you tell him, oh, you should know that event. Once upon a time, you were a little sperm cell and whatever. I go, okay, fine. But bottom line is, since then, I've done pretty good for myself.
You're lost in the most, like, arrogant people are half a thousand over their parents.
Right.
Because they view that as an extension of who they are.
You're right. And he'll say, listen, it's true I did, but everyone else also did. But yet, I'm the one who managed to be so important and so special. So, like, is this really, you know, going to work? To think that you came from the Tiberias Rucha and that's it? Like, okay. Is that really supposed to move a person? What's the big deal? I mean, in a certain sense, it's nice. It sounds nice and all, but it just doesn't. Is it really reasonable to make a difference? These aren't Mizonos, are they?
They're
furniture.
So, something in the closet.
Usually don't put flowers in
their
thinking upon what
that's whole white wheat.
No,
I don't think so. Whole wheat is like it's whole white wheat. Does that mean like rolled?
No,
it's whole.
Is that whole?
Is that whole?
Like a three-step process. Thinking about this leads to another, which leads you to not sin. You have to show
how... I don't know what that means. Yeah, maybe it's whole. It's not like a process. Sorry.
That makes it easier.
Yeah.
Start with that.
I also need something. I don't know.
Thinking about that to Anava, you're saying it's not clear that a person thinking about that would automatically become modest and modest enough that it would prevent them from sinning.
Right. That's my question.
Right.
But I feel like also in order to get to the final step, like achieving the no sinning.
What?
In order to get to the final step of achieving
no
sinning resulting from the previous steps, they have to get to the previous level, like to the nth degree, because you have a lot of people who like are willing to acknowledge where they come from, but they're still terrible sinners. Like, it has to be that like a person really reaches the ultimate of each stage before you can say that because of those things they're not going to sin.
Right. But that's for us to understand exactly how that works, yeah?
Right.
You just say you have to get to the ultimate level, but it's still not clear how it...
But, like, to that point, I feel like a lot of things could cause help a person, like, not sin, you know, along the way even, or... So there very well could be, like, other...
Maybe a lot of them just help a person realize who he really is and what it is, where his, you know, his desire to sin is coming from. It's like, it comes from that part of him that stems from the physical, and going back to the physical, and it's... You know, it's the part of him that
it's like symbolic of what drives a person
Yeah.
The language that it's using is all about, like, physical things. That's interesting.
So again,
maybe it's just to help him realize where his desire to sin is coming from. Like, that's really, that's part of him, and that's who he really is as a person. You know, he has this physical nature, but he also has his other elements, and the desire to sin comes from this nature. So he can't, like, ignore it, but he has to realize that that's not his essential part.
And it humbles a person to realize that their physical can control them so much that they're becoming like an animal almost.
They want
to think that they're above that, but look, their base instincts are still there.
Right. That's a big part of you.
But it's saying that you are from Atiba Srucha.
Right.
I mean, it may remind you of your parents' base instincts, but is that really talking about your instincts?
It's a physical manifestation of the baser instincts. If you had to pick one symbol of base instincts, what would it be?
I know, but it's like saying that you came from Tibet Sri
Lanka. Hamburger? A juicy hamburger.
No, I'm going to say, remind you that you have base instincts. Well, I'm saying that you came from Tibet Sri Lanka.
Maybe it's a combination of both, which is, one is that you yourself are from humble roots, and at the same time, you think that, oh, you've achieved so much since you were born, but really, you still have that same physical construct that prevents you from, you know, you're not a god. You're physical. Don't think that you're above.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Like, what are you really reminding somebody? Because, like, where do they think they were from?
Right.
Well, the pharaohs used to think they were divine, right? Didn't they think that they were, like, God sent?
Yeah. The regular person,
Jesus was supposed to be a virgin birth, so apparently he didn't come from a teapot or a pot, right?
Right, but your average person in this mission is talking to?
Right.
What does that remind you that you didn't know before? Yeah.
Oh,
no, that was not really 100% a joke.
It's
like, what
really? What does it remind you
that you didn't know before? Right. Like, what's the fetish? Yeah. What were you saying, Lisa? It's interesting, like, that people don't really think about where they're from. That there's not, you know, you just think you existed and you
always,
well, you know, did and well. Like, you don't think about that there was a world before you, and that, you know, that there will be a world after you.
Mm-hmm.
To a child especially, it's like very shocking and disturbing that things happened before they were around, you know, like, what?
Right, it's true.
I wasn't at your wedding. How come I wasn't invited?
Right.
Such a molest.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting also the imagery of, like, dirty? Like, why is that there?
Smelliness
dirty, right. Combination, I say, of small, if you have teepa, small and dirty, right?
Right. Well, isn't there another Mishnah that says you should have in one pocket anopia for a vayfer, and the other pocket bishvili nivra alam, or something like that?
Uh-huh. I think that was said by some Hasidish rabbi or something.
Oh, was it?
I think so. I just read it recently. It was quoted in the name of some Hasidic Rebbe. But they're both things.
Okay.
They're both statements, for sure. But I think the one who said that was, but whatever. Yeah, it's a fine idea.
I'm just trying to think
what
you compare yourself to something that was like the lowest of the low,
yep.
What would you pick?
Right.
I'm
small, dirty,
nothing, basically.
Mm-hmm. Small and dirty. Pond
scum.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, satisfied? No.
Still not.
still not, right?
Not a clear path. Yeah, right. Like, right. If you think about this, yeah. You are automatically.
Right, I am. You know, it's like a nice, like.
Stay away from.
It's like a nice Dvar Torah, but it's like if you think about it and you like, it just doesn't meet up to the claim that it's trying to make. That it's supposed to somehow really steer you away from chet, you know?
But maybe there's a relationship between like how when people sin, it might be like activities that are like crooked and dirty, but they're not related to it that way at the time. Like they're
strong.
If anything, deluding themselves or.
Right. Okay.
So. Maybe that's like a significant part of the problem in sinning is that like the person in many cases doesn't even really realize the behavior. But if somehow we could remind people of their capacity to
right.
You know, have that in them, then it might be closer to acknowledging like a reality of who they are that
right.
I'm just trying to imagine a scenario where a person would actually like stop talking about sin. Let me think about these three things, you know. And it's like the.
No, I think it works the opposite way though. It doesn't work like that. Where they're about to sin, but then they're halted by these ideas. It's that they have these ideas, and then they slowly become less of a sinner because they have the ideas.
If you keep those ideas with you constantly, you mean, then you would become.
Or like, let's continue to develop the ideas. Let's say then.
Well, that's a good point.
But it probably doesn't work like right in the moment of sin. So like,
right.
Isn't there another Gemara that talks about like if your yetzer are so strong and you can't control it, you should go to a place where you're not doing it in public, so you shouldn't cause a fill of Hashem?
Yeah, right. That's a different one.
So the implication is that you should, even if you have a yetzer that is so strong, you should be able to control it long enough that you can go and like think about going somewhere and not doing it.
For right. Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. It was when exactly this works.
The person who's in the frozen clay is not thinking
about it. Yeah, right. That's true. Right. It could be the time to think about these things before you do this, really get into the throes of chay.
Right.
Like yichud, for instance. That's the idea of the Esrei Yichud, you know? Mm-hmm. The time to control yourself is before the yichud, not after the yichud. You know, and that's the case in general, okay. But maybe the person who's thinking about these three things won't do either. You know?
That's
doesn't necessarily mean they'll be able to stop once he's in that situation. But it could be he'll never get in that situation. But it still doesn't really help exactly how it works. So, let me try to...
Yichud is more practical than this... Think about concepts that you won't come.
Well, the question is how do you... Well, I'm just giving you an example, but how do you not do yichud? How do you avoid yichud? Presumably these things will help you do that. That's a chet, you know. It's not so easy not to do yichud.
The rules of yichud are just like, you know, kind of like a fence.
Right.
And then you can't go past that to transgress.
Right.
Kind of like...
I'm just saying, though, is that everyone who's... every violation of, let's say, a sexual thing starts with yichud. So obviously, yichud works if you follow the halacha of yichud, but, you know, it often doesn't work. You know, it's often people that, you know... So I'm saying is... So I think Rachel's point is that it's possible that these things is not meant to work after you're in yichud, but it's to prevent you from getting into the situation in the first place. Yeah, I'm just using that as an example. It would seem so. I mean, it just seems to be that's the derech of avoiding chayt in general. In the Torah, is avoiding situations, not getting yourself into a situation, then pulling out of them. So if this is helping you avoid chayt, presumably it will help you avoid situations of chayt. I don't see why we should assume that it's going to have the magical ability to get you out of it even once you're already in the tough situation. Although, not that it can't, but in general, it just seems to be, you know. Okay, so let me just try it again. I don't know if I, making the question hard here, but let's see if we get the ball rolling and see if we get the together work something out. So, maybe we have to know, like, what causes chet. Okay. So let's make it easy for me. And let's say we're talking about a cheir, or let's say some sort of bein adam l'chaver cheir. Okay? Like, I don't know, making fun of someone, or talking lashon hara on someone, something like that. You know? And, you know, maybe afterwards we'll see if it works for other chatayim, but let's just, you know, maybe make it easier. So, I think that one big cause of chet is gaiva. Okay? Which means that insofar as you think you are important, okay? You are important. You are the center of the world. Everything is about you, right? You're of utmost significance. Your wishes should be satisfied. Right? It's only right. I'm me. And what I want, kind of, that's just the way things should work, right? That's kind of the way you live your life, is around your wishes and your desires. And you overestimate the significance of your wishes and of, you know, and of what you want to happen. And you kind of give it a prime importance in the world. So, if you want a certain item or you want a certain social standing or whatever, so now you need that. And that's just kind of what has to happen. That's the way you live, you know, that's in your foremost of your mind is, I have to get people to like me, and talking lashon hara is the way to do it. And therefore this desire of mine, that's the root of satisfying it. But that's like, in a certain sense, it makes you very important, and him, let's say the friend and the victim, to be unimportant, right? I mean, if he's, you and him of equal importance, very nice, you want the approval, but he also does, and you're, you know, so there's implicitly in any chet like that is a certain overestimation of yourself and your desires, and above the other people and above just objective reality, right? So there's like, I think that when a person, if a person, that's what Rambam says, is a person thinking of this, well, this is Anava. That's probably my dad. You got it, yeah, just tell him. Yeah. So a person would need Anava, right? So Rambam mentions Anava. So the idea is when a person has to realize, what is, like, let's say that point is, you say, I come from a Tipa Srucha, but everyone does. So what is that? So what kind of, how is that going to really help me? Right? Everyone comes from a Tipa Srucha. So is that really going to make me feel humble? Right? Humble would be somehow someone tell me I'm not as good as other people or something like that. But so first of all you say, yeah, okay, it's true, everyone does. So you're not greater than him. But I am, because other stuff I'm greater than him. But I think it means is like, a person doesn't want to be the best Tipa Srucha out there. It's not very, you know, motivating. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't give you the kind of yay, I'm great feeling that you're looking for. Right? Just like you wouldn't want to be the fastest first grader in the class. I mean, first graders are slow or whatever, or the fastest anything. You just realize, you know, you look at some little kid in second grade who's boasting like he's all hot stuff as like it's a joke. Right? He's a second grader. I mean, he doesn't know anything, you know.
He's so smarter than a fifth grader.
Yeah, right. But you want to be, You and as you realize what really matters is in truth who you, what are you? You don't want to just be the greatest of the lowly Tipa Srucha's. You want to be important, and that's what you feel. You feel like you're important. You feel you have cosmic significance, right? And thinking that you are emergent from a Tipa Srucha, it's hard to. Tipa Srucha is like, and you look at it as being first of all tiny and dirty. You know, smelly, disgusting, something which is abhorrent, right? And abhorrent and minuscule, you know? And I think that you can't keep that thought in mind and at the same time attribute cosmic significance to yourself. And only that, I think she mentioned this point also, it's like a Tipa Srucha which could have very easily not have worked out. You know, it's like a Tipa Srucha, it's like tiny nothing. Like in the, you know, I don't know if they were talking about this, but any given sperm cell or even anything is just totally like a chance thing that all ended up making it. So it's hard in this context to think of yourself as being significant, as being like some sort of important thing in the universe.
It's, I mean, also you're just, one of many.
Yeah, one of many, exactly. One of many tiny, little, dirty, disgusting things in the massive universe, many of, in the human species, in your own parents, in the universe at large. I mean, look how tiny and how disgusting and how small and how little you are. Now, yes, you've come a long way, so you're a highly advanced tzipasrucha, but insofar as you're mistakel about that, and you take it to heart, so it will prevent you from raising yourself up, your true worth, beyond a certain point. Yes, you could feel better than other people, whatever, but still, this will kind of keep you in check. Insofar as you have the ability to consider yourself up against the totality of existence and of the universe and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's universe. So you just kind of, you'll feel small. And I think that one tool in avoiding chait, or one stumbling block of falling into chait, is an overvaluation of the self. Of the self and of your wishes. It's not just of myself in a theoretical abstract sense, but if I'm important, then my wishes have to happen. Like if you imagine a king, what a king wants has to happen because he's the king. So who's going to stop the king's wishes from happening? The king wants food, there's food. The king wants this, there's this. Now we feel like kings. Well, internally we all feel like kings and we have the same emotions as a king. A king just has other people telling him that he's right, but he doesn't have like different emotions. Part of our emotions is we're us, and we live through our own eyes, and we know our emotions, we don't have everyone else's emotions, so kind of that's our center. So we have to, that type of a thing, that overvaluation, is a cause of chait. And so far as you can kind of keep your own existence in a perspective, it could help you, it could help you avoid chait.
One proof maybe that the herb is a proof, but that people who overestimate themselves tend to be more likely to do chait is politicians who are all, always full of themselves, and they always have these moral scandals that come out because they're very narcissistic type of people. They think
it's true. Right. I mean, you see when that feeling is confirmed, then you're like invincible and get away with anything and whatever you want, and everyone should listen to you and get out to you and that, right? Exactly. So them, they have it strong because everyone can, agrees with their sense of greatness. So then it's really hard to deny it, And then it's like a confirmation, But we all have our own confirmation for our greatness. Maybe not from the world of politics, but from our family and from this and from that. Like, we're all day looking for different things that confirm our greatness. Being some little kid who smiles at us and realizes how important and how good we are, or any little thing. There's tons of things, someone does whatever. It's like part of life is looking for confirmation of how great we are, and that's how our emotions are. We want to feel great, and we're looking for little cues and hints that it's really true. So we have to avoid that temptation and be able to think. And a decent way to do it is to think of our roots. Think of that we're basically, from the Tzipas Rucho, which has like a negative, small connotation. Okay, so far so good? Okay. But I guess you have to think about it, because you don't want to. So see, maybe that's why you need the histakos. Because like, if it's just words, it just doesn't work. You gotta really break through the resistances and almost maybe like it has to hit you emotionally. It should be bothersome if you're on Tzipas Rucho, because it is, right? Your arrogance doesn't want to think this. So if you could just say it and it doesn't hurt and it's not bothersome, then it seems like you're not being mistaken on it. Like, it doesn't mean just mistaken, you gotta really like focus on it and gaze at it and get in touch with that idea. And I would think that's a good measuring rod. Is if it doesn't bother you, then it's probably not working. You're not being stockable enough. Because it has to. So if it doesn't bother you, it means you're like kind of intellectualizing it. But that's not, you're not really getting it. You have to break through it to the emotions. You have to feel it. That will, deflate your ego a little bit by having that sense. So, yeah. Certainly by mumbling it under your breath, it's not going to help you in focusing on the full extent of the idea.
When when the chazan starts the Rosh Hashanah davening in the
whatever.
One part where a lot of times they'll say.
Oh, they say that quietly. Yeah, right. I know. Yeah, his own chatan, right? Well, no, that's talking about the opposite. That's what he's saying is that I shouldn't be embarrassed by their chatan. So that's.
I thought it was like, even if I'm not worthy of being.
No, I think it's the other way. That, I think he says that loud. I think he says, Alevoshavi, Alevoshvam. That they shouldn't be embarrassed by me, but I shouldn't be embarrassed by them. So I think, this is the way I've never looked into this, but the way I interpret it is like, he doesn't want to come off as being accusatory of people. So that will cause him, people not to view him as a good shliach tzibur, you know? Like, and say, oh, who does he think he is? He shouldn't be embarrassed by our sins, you know? So that would kind of, like, ruin the kind of the dynamic in the people's... But him to say, I should, you know, they should be embarrassed by me, that's part of his, you know, his humility, his, you know? I think, I mean, maybe we could pay more attention to that part this year. I'm just pushing the button on the side of that. Just push the button so it's not. Yeah, okay, so far so good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay, next part, it says to think where you are going. Right? So the Rambam says, when you think about your tachlis, your ultimate end, will bring you to a zilzol or bizayon binyane olam hazeh. Right? So when you think that you're going to afar makom rima v'soleya, afar rima v'soleya. Right? So I don't know the difference between rima and soleya, but I think they both have some sort of wormy connotation. You know, maybe lots of different kinds of worms. You know, maybe I don't want to know the. Maybe I should.
One goes after your eyeballs, and the other one goes after your guts.
Yeah, thanks. Right. So, so what's the deal here? So how is this supposed to work? How is this supposed to work? And like in a certain sense, this sounds like similar. But obviously it's not. I mean, just say the same thing twice isn't going to really help us more. Right? But what is this doing?
What's
zilzul? Zilzul is like, ridicule? Yeah, like ridicule looking down on, like it's like light.
Okay.
To make light of it. You know? Yours says bizillion, right? That's like my problem. Zilzul is like, zilzul is like to degrade it.
Maybe it's touching on like a second aspect of like the sinner's personality or like the the problems of a sinner,
uh-huh.
Is that like they take right now too seriously, or like they're like people always say like if I never understood this, but, like people say, oh, we might not have tomorrow, so we might as well just do whatever hedonistic things we feel like doing.
Yeah.
But if you don't have, like, it's such a strange concept to me. Like, oh, if you don't have tomorrow, you're going to waste your last day indulging in your hedonistic.
Right. Yeah. So I think eat and drink and be merry for tomorrow, we'll die.
Right.
Right. Well, they say they might as well enjoy now. And if they don't have, I guess, they think this is the ultimate enjoyment. So they think that you're saying, why would you not do it? So people will say, oh, because afterlife, but they don't go for that. So they just say, I might as well enjoy myself. So I might as well eat and drink and be merry. Tomorrow I'm going to die, I'm not going to be able to do it then. So what am I exactly saving up for?
But even if you don't believe in the afterlife, you could believe that the actions of what you're doing right now are
better. Well, they also view this as the ultimate physical pleasure as the ultimate. It's another mistake they're making, but they view that as the ultimate, and they view there's no afterlife. So that being, if you take those two things together, and it kind of makes sense. Well, why not? What am I waiting for? I think so.
There's no point in character development if you're just good.
Yeah, I mean, you're holding by some sort of a moral ethic, but they're like a total Epicureans. I think that was like Epicurus. I think that's where Epicurus is from, that philosophy. Yeah, but okay, let's put that aside. So what's this? So this is going to where you're going. Where you're going.
So you don't necessarily have any direction just by like seeing where you came from. But if you also have like a perspective on where you're going, then like gives a lot of direction to what your choices are.
Okay. Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's like you, maybe knowing where you came from prevents the kind of like arrogance and those kinds of negative qualities that bring a person to sin, but if you don't have a perspective on like an afterlife and what's like to come after you die, then there's no use, or there's, it doesn't give a person like a real sense of like what exactly, that they're working towards anything, or that they're like trying to achieve, like, they could just be stagnant but be a good person. There's no way to keep them.
Okay.
But if you have a perspective on where you're going, then there'll be a reason to like improve oneself. And
yeah, why? Because you're going to the grave? Why is that a reason to improve?
Or because there's an afterlife.
Oh, well, that's maybe more like the other thing, the last thing, if an inyatas is never husband, no? Saying that I'm going to worms and whatever isn't really talking about an afterlife, right?
Right.
But it is,
but it does emphasize that your physical body isn't going to last.
That's true, but it doesn't emphasize the.
Like
oh, okay.
It makes it almost sound like disposable.
What?
It makes it almost sound like disposable.
Yeah, your body.
It's futile to try.
Right.
Hold on to that.
Okay.
Because it's not
going to... Yeah, okay, good. So if we try to go follow the other model, we're saying these are avoiding chet. So the model of the first one was, well, what leads a person to chet? So we say, well, the gaiva does. Right? So this undermines that. So could we... Maybe that's a good way to think about this. So what's this addressing? What leads a person to chet, and how does this undermine it?
It almost sounds like the same thing, though.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, oh, like, I think it's important to, like, you know, really...
I know. Really, I know. You could say the same thing. But what's the Rambam saying? He says that when you think about your end, it leads you to Zilzul Ben Yonei Olam Hazah.
You start thinking of
okay. Good. So what leads you...
A person does get really tied up in the physical life every day.
Yeah, okay, good. So what's leading you to chet?
The physical life that's around you. The thing that's important.
What do you think is important? Okay. Not, okay, good. So maybe it's like you think you have some sort of goal. You're striving towards something. And you think that the chet is going to get you something. All right, what are you going to... Like a person has like ambition. Where are you going? That's why, for instance, I think old people get depressed. Like, what are they going to dream about and fantasize about? And they realize everything they're going to do, what's it going to get them? Ultimately, what's it going to do, you know? So they realize when you're young, though, you don't feel that way. You have these dreams and images that if I do this, then I'll be able to go here, and then I'll be able to become powerful and popular and rich and this and that, you know.
And also, as you're older, your body, your physical body is starting to.
Yeah, all those fantasies are knocked down when you get older, right? But when you're younger, let's talk about young. So then you kind of you have, like, why do you do chet? It's wrong. Why do you do it? Well, because if I do that, then I'll have whatever. In other words, it promises you. Chet promises you something. You're gonna get happiness, you can get pleasure, you're gonna like, it's gonna lead you somewhere. And it does, you do get something in the short term, but you're not looking for the short term. You're looking for the ultimate. You know? And if you could gain perspective that it can't lead you that great, because you know is wherever it's going, you're ending up down there. You know, the worms. So, it's, look, it could be in a short type of a way, you know, but in so the context of you're looking for eternity, you're looking for, you know, for something that is, like they said, like in Kohalas, this is a good point. There's like Kemozeh, Kemozeh, like the rich guy and the poor guy and the famous guy and this guy, they're all buried in the same cemetery and they're all whatever, you know, and you know, everyone walks by and says, who's that, you know? It just doesn't, like, you're the same guy, the same worms, worms are all different. So like all your illusions, it will get you something, but your idea, your wishes and your fantasies are for something more than just temporary. You're looking for, you know, like What does it say? There's another positive. Like, you can't take your wealth with you to the grave or something like that. I forgot the thing. But, yeah. But, so the thing is that what leads you to, you have to put in perspective, like, what is the chait going to get you? Where is it going to bring you? You know? And it could give you, I think if you really thought that it will make me happy for a minute or a half a day, then it could be, it would help you avoid chait. It's because you have dreams. Like, ultimately, I don't think you have to go all the way to your grave. I think if you think about, like, tomorrow, it'll probably help you realize it's probably not going to make you happy even tomorrow. But it's like, as an end point, whatever, you could always think, well, maybe it will help me for tomorrow and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and it will be the beginning of a new whatever, whatever. But still, your fancy looking beyond the grave, it's looking beyond the eternity, you know? So then you have to get look not just how small you are. The first thing is how small you are, but then the question is, what is the chait going to give you? Is it really going to give you everything it promises, or is it just lying to you and it's telling you that it's going to give you everything, you know? And the illusions about the what the chait will give you is often what allows you to be a chote. If you really have an honest, you know, perspective of what it's worth and what it's going to give you, then you say, it's not worth it. It's like you may enjoy it for a little bit, but it just kind of undermines the worth of the chait. Good? So then, the last thing it says, and know before whom you are ultimately going to give a din v'chashbon. Before the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what's that doing? That sounds nice. You know?
It's a fear tactic. It's like,
okay.
Fear.
So here's what's interesting. Is that I think if you read carefully, It doesn't say the way you'd think it would say. It doesn't say, and know that you're going to be punished. You know, that kind of thing. It's not saying that. Or know you're going to be rewarded. It doesn't say that either. It says, know before whom you are going to give a din v'chashvan, before the Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like, it's distracting you from what you want it to say. You want it to say, think of reward and punishment. It's almost not even talking about the reward and punishment. It's talking about before whom the reward and punishment or the judgment is going to be.
Yeah,
but what is that relevant? Yeah?
Right. I was going to say, I guess, more like focusing on learning about God than actually, like, the specific effects of what you're actually doing.
Right.
But that's still a fear of the authority of Hashem that you're going to have to answer to the ultimate, you know. To me, that's like, I'm going to have to go in front of the principal and answer for what I did, you know?
I feel like it's really
here.
Yeah, I feel like it's really not worded that way, though. You know what I mean? Like, it could have, there's like a lot of ways that it could have said it, and it's like not so much focusing on, like,
back in the days when people actually used to be afraid of their principals.
Like, it almost sounds like it's telling you, like, because of this, like, go learn about God. Not, like, because of this,
right,
go keep mitzvot and don't sin. You know what I mean? Because it says to know, like, know before whom.
Know before whom, so that it prevents you from doing chait. What is it about knowing before whom that prevents you from doing chait?
That you're learning about God.
Yeah, so maybe like this is like, I think we could say it's good tomorrow.
I guess you're talking about the levels of from Yira to Ahavas Hashem. Like, the lowest level is Yira Salmanesh, then the next level is
right.
Yira Hashem, and then you work your way up to really learning about Hashem, and then it's Ahavas Hashem.
Right. But maybe to put it all together, the first two. It's like the first two, in a certain sense, could leave you depressed. Because basically saying is, you think you're hot stuff now. You're basically Tibas Rucha. You think you're going somewhere, you're not going anywhere. You're going to the grave, you're going to the worms, you know? So it's all worthless. Right? Almost like those people. Like, you know, let it eat and drink and marry. Who really cares? There's no. Yeah, it's just like you end up with nothing. So is there nothing? Is that the idea? Just avoid chait because there's nothing? Nothing really matters? And, you know? So saying, no, there's not nothing. well, there is something important which you have about you, but not about you. Lefnei miata zelitnei nuchashman. Lefnei melach machem lachem gadosh baruch hu. You do partake of a greatness insofar as you exist before the melach machem lachem. The melach machem lachem is unbelievable. And if you think that he is the king of the universe and of everything, and you could exist before him in a positive way or in a negative way, you couldn't exist in Olam Haba, you could not exist because you're obviously totally physical and worthless. So if you're looking for, these things show you your promises of your greatness, your promises of your fantasies are empty. But there is a place of greatness. The real greatness is the Melech Malchim Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you have shaychus to him because you're asid li'tein din v'chashbon before him. So you want to know how you could have significance? Be real before, be good before the Melech Malchim Lachim. Be related to the Melech Malchim Lachim. You want to know how you'll be, you'll be insignificant, the worms, the tipas rucha, be non-existent and be failing your din v'chashbon before him. I mean, so like, the true measure of what really is worth and of is not worth is your state of existence before the Melech Malchim. That you do have, as small as we are and as nothing as we are, we do exist and we could have a relationship, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Melech Malchim, Malchim. You know, so consider, Lefnei Mi, who is that? And if you study and the more you have knowledge and you have knowledge of God and His Bria, and you see how great and the chachma of his bria, and then you realize, but I could have some sort of a relationship with him, then it will motivate you. Now, do I want to do a chait, which will distance me from he who really is matters? Or do I want to do a mitzvah and will bring me closer to them? And I didn't v'chashbon, it's like it puts your actions in a perspective. It's bringing you closer or more distant to that which is ultimately significant. So the first two knock out your illusions of significance of your own self and of your chayit and your actions of where they will go. But then it puts you on a path, gives you a positive idea that there is a place of real significance. And that direct, and that in mind, then if you think about that, then you could, it gives like some positive content besides the negative content of the other. You know, it's like undermines the negative things and then gives you a positive thing to focus on and be mystical about and then to, you know. So that's what Ram says. Is bonus be gedulas hametzava, thinking about the greatness of the commander. That is, we could relate to God because he commanded us stuff. It's not just he created us, but it actually, when we do actions, we're related to them. So Yavi Yosu Lamaher Lakayim Mitzvasa will cause us to haste, to move in haste, to do his mitzvahs, because that's what's worth anything. You do these three together, then you want to have chayim. Yeah.
To go back to what you were saying about how the first two things totally shoot down your self-esteem,
right. But
in order for a person to be able to either do a positive mitzvah or refrain from not doing an Aveira, they need to have some self-worth or some sense of, well, okay, so if I'm coming from nothing and I'm going to nothing, And the words that says melech machem lachem, I think the reason it specifically says melech machem lachem is because we all have etzalam elokim, and so in the sense that we all have etzalam elokim, we all reflect the King of Kings, and that gives us enough willpower that we need to either do the mitzvah or to refrain from doing
it. And he is the melech of all melechim, the greatest great of everything.
Right.
And we could have a shaychus to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Alrighty? So, again, easier said than done. You know, to learn this Mishnah is the easy part, but you know, maybe we could try to be mystical about these things and, see if they could actually make a difference for our lives. That would be, that would be the test if the idea is really good. Alrighty, so I guess we'll try to pick up next time.